Welcome to Mastering Insolvency and the Debtor-Creditor Relationship. This is one in a series of insolvency collection and bankruptcy podcasts presented by Drinker, Biddle, and Reith. This podcast is not intended to and does not create an attorney-client relationship or attorney-client privilege between Drinker, Biddle, or any of its lawyers and any other person. Although we are lawyers, we do not know the facts of your particular situation and may not know the law of your particular jurisdiction. We do not hold ourselves out as being admitted to practice in any particular jurisdiction, except as described on our website, www.dbr.com. Further, the law is constantly changing and needs to be updated. For an update on the current law and application to your particular facts and circumstances, please contact Andrew Flame at Drinker, Biddle, and Reith at 215-988-2630 or andrew.flame@dbr.com or other qualified and licensed attorney of your choosing. Neither Drinker, Biddle nor its attorneys receive payment nor other compensation from any person or organization related to this podcast. With the lawyer stuff out of the way, let's turn to the exciting world of creditors' rights and insolvency. Welcome back. I'm Andrew Flame of Drinker, Biddle, and Reith, and this is our third podcast, Keeping What You've Earned, Bankruptcy Preference Actions, and Your Defenses. I'm lucky to have back with us Kristen Going, my partner, to continue our discussion of our debtor, Burning Cash Auto, and creditor, Alpha Auto Parts.
Good afternoon, Andrew. I've been thinking about what you were telling me about a preference, and I've become a little concerned. So, if you recall, we received $1.5 million within the 90 days prior to Burning Cash filing bankruptcy. Now, our total claim pre-petition was $2.1 million. So, that 1.5 is a significant amount to us, and I would imagine probably to Burning Cash as well. I went back and I looked at the records. And in the last few months before Burning Cash filed bankruptcy, they were taking a little longer to pay than usual, but then they made four payments within the 3 months prior to filing. And those payments were on account of us making several collection calls to them. And so they made a catch-up payment in order to bring their account a little more current right before the bankruptcy filing. So if we could talk a little bit more today about preference payments and those defenses that we may have.
Sure, Kristen. Under the bankruptcy code, a debtor or a bankruptcy trustee, if a trustee is appointed, in this case right now it's the debtor in possession, the debtor that's operating the company in bankruptcy, has the ability to seek return of certain payments received by a creditor within the 90 days before the filing of the bankruptcy case.
I'm sorry. It sounds like you just were trying to tell me that I would have to give money back.
Yeah, so that's correct. And frankly, you were a lot calmer than many clients who haven't dealt with what's called a preference claim before. And that's what this is. But before you get alarmed, there are defenses. But let's talk about what it is. The most important thing now is to preserve your records. Okay, that I'm going to tell you a little bit about what a preference is, but you're going to see we're going to have certain burdens to get you out of some, most or all, of this potential obligation. But we have to prove it up, which means we need our records. So we have to make sure we protect and store our electronic records and paper records so they're not destroyed as part of a document retention policy or because they're not accessible because we change computer systems. We want to make sure we have this information. So let me start with what a preference is. So a preference is a payment or, if you were granted a lien, but you've told me you don't have liens, any transfer of an interest in property like a lien or, frankly, turning over property that's paid or granted to a creditor in the 90 days before bankruptcy on an existing obligation, and that would allow you to receive more than you would if the debtor was liquidated in a Chapter 7 liquidation, where a trustee is appointed, the debtor's not operating typically, and everything is just collected and distributed pursuant to priority under the law. Okay? So it's a payment within 90 days. It's 1 year for an insider, but your company's not related to the debtor in any way.
No, okay. No, we're not.
So it's 90 days, 1 year for an insider on pre-existing debt that allows you to receive more than you would have in a Chapter 7 liquidation. There is no obligation, despite the name preference, there is no obligation that the debtor intended to prefer you in any way. It's what we lawyers would call a strict liability claim. It's not that you did anything wrong. It's not that the debtor preferred consciously or had a preference consciously to pay you over somebody else. It's simply the fact that you got the payment and the other things in the 90 days.
But the payment, they made probably 3 or 4 payments within the 90 days prior to the filing of the bankruptcy. And all of those payments were on account of the invoice that we sent them. So we should be okay.
Well, and that may be true. And we're going to talk about the defenses. Okay. And it's not, again, it's not saying that you got something you shouldn't have gotten. And it's not saying that the debtor decided to prefer you over the vendors they didn't pay. It's merely the fact that you got a payment in that 90-day, what we call the preference period. So let me tell you the purpose, which isn't going to lighten the blow, but you should understand the rationale. And then we're going to talk about 2 or 3 of the common defenses. And then you know, we'll get into more detail later if we need to on that. But the purpose of the preference statute is not to permit you to receive 4 payments in the 90 days before bankruptcy to receive 100% of what you're owed on those payments, on those invoices that got paid, while I'm a lowly creditor they didn't care about, so I get my nickel out of the bankruptcy case. And the idea is to level that. And again, not that it softens the blow for you, but to bring back those payments in the 90 days, bring them back into the bankruptcy estate, give you a claim for those. Remember, we talked about proofs of claim.
That's right.
If that happens, we have another opportunity to file a proof of claim for any amounts that if you're required to turn anything back. Give you a claim, and now you and I share equally in that money. Why 90 days? Why not 60 days or 120 days? I really don't know. I think it's probably relatively arbitrary, okay? But that's the concept. So it's supposed to be a fairness. Your perspective, if you're paying it back, is it's not fair at all. They owe me the money. I'm out another $2.1 million. Maybe we'll recover it through the things we talked about. I'm not minimizing that. I get it. I understand. So let's talk about the defenses. Do you have any questions about the overall claim? And then we'll talk about kind of the concept, I'd say, and then we can talk about what your defenses are.
No, I think I understand that we're going to have to look at these 4 payments that the debtor made to us within the 90 days and I guess evaluate each and every one of those. So why don't you tell me about the defenses?
Sure. So there's 2 or 3 common defenses. There are some others, but it's not worth getting into based so far on what you've told me. So the first defense, and I call this the black and white defense, as opposed to the next one, which is I call the gray defense. The black and white defense is something called the new value defense. And what the new value defense says is if you received a payment in the 90 days that's otherwise what we call avoidable, otherwise has to be paid back under the law anyway, that you're entitled to a credit for any new value, in your case, the switches and clips that you delivered after that date and were not paid for.
Well, that's good news because we certainly have plenty of deliveries that we made after those payments.
So that's the good news. And it's pretty clear cut. You know, the real question is, when did you deliver them? And was it after that date? And the date of payment, by the way, is if you get paid by check, the day the check clears, not the day that you get the check. And it's, you know, wire, that's pretty easy, right? Same day, it's wired. When those funds clear the debtor's account is the payment date. So there may be some issue of, as opposed to when you received it, when it cleared the account, if it's a check, and so forth. But that's generally once you look at those things, it's pretty clear cut as to what new value you get. Okay? And there are some legal things depending on the jurisdiction, but as a general matter, it's pretty clear cut. The second defense, I'd say the second most common defense, and they go together, is ordinary course, what's called the ordinary course defense. And in essence, what that is there's two ways to prove it. One is that the payment was ordinary between the parties or ordinary within your industry. Let's start with the first one, okay, because this is something you've had a long relationship. We can prove up through the historic relationship between Alpha and Burning Cash. We would look at the method and timing of payments in the preference period, that 90-day period, and compare it to the timing in some historic period, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, depending what data you have, and frankly, what works best in our analysis, to show that these payments in the preference period, or at least some of them, match up and are just the same as those in the historic period. So in the zenith of examples, that the perfect example would be you have a 2-year relationship before the preference period. The debtor was on 30-day terms, always paid you by wire transfer on the 30th day, and in the preference period, exactly the same. 30-day terms, paid you on the 30th day, every time by wire transfer.
I wish we could say we had that, but here, we did get 4 payments within the 90 days, and I know that Burning Cash was pretty good about making their payments about every 30 days, but the fact that we got 4 payments within those last 90 days, I have to admit, I think that they probably paid, 2 invoices pretty close together.
Okay. And you also told me that they were being a little slower pay coming on the bankruptcy, and you were calling, and they'd say the check is in the mail.
That's right. So I think one of those payments was probably for a past due invoice.
Okay. So, but we would compare, and part of my job, and we're going to collect a whole bunch of information, okay, and we're going to need your help and your department's help in pulling that together, and we can give you some forms, typically Excel spreadsheets, but our job is to find the best argument to say these were ordinary course. And there's all different arguments and ways to look at the data, average days, weighted average by amount that was paid. There's, all kinds of different ways. And to make that best argument for that ordinary course between the parties, kind of your historic data versus the preference period data on payments. In addition, there's another way to prove ordinary course. And it used to be we had to prove both, and the bankruptcy code changed a number of years ago. It used to say it had to be ordinary between the parties and ordinary in your industry. That was changed. The and was changed to or. So it gives us actually an additional way of proving it. And that is if it's ordinary in your industry. We're going to need, if as we look at ordinary between the parties and our new value defense, we think we still have exposure and there's an argument that it's ordinary in your industry, we would need to hire an expert to prove this up. It's possible you have somebody internally that could serve that role, not always best for credibility, but much better for keeping the cost down. But if not, we can find an expert that is able to, in this industry, and is able to testify. And that is essentially saying that, yeah, it wasn't ordinary. It was paid 45 days instead of 30 days. And let's say that's not ordinary between the parties. But when you look at normal payment practices to your companies and your competitors, 45 days is ordinary. It's ordinary amongst the companies in this industry. So we need somebody with knowledge across multiple companies. So there's 2 ways to prove that up and knock down that exposure. And the other thing, and I haven't heard you say this, but I'll mention it, is if you had a contemporary, what's called a contemporaneous exchange, think cash on delivery, COD. Okay, you deliver the goods, the debtor hands you a check to pay for those goods. There's 2 ways, 2 elements to that. You and the debtor had to intend that to be the exchange to be contemporaneous. And secondly, it had to in fact be substantially contemporaneous. So the easiest way to show that is they hand you the check. I told you the payment date is the date the check clears.
Right.
So it wouldn't be when they hand it to you. It'd be the date later, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, it has to be substantially contemporaneous, meaning if you deposit that check timely,
right,
and then it clears the debtor's account, and you both intended it to be contemporaneous,
yes,
that's close enough. If you delay, you don't deposit the check, the agreement is you'll hold the check, or anything along those lines, you may fall out from that. Now, you haven't told me you put them on COD, but that's, I wanted to mention that because it's, you know, it is one of the common defenses. So there's one more thing with preference. There's a two-year period, and it can be longer if there's a trustee appointed, in which a debtor can bring a preference claim. So we may not see anything about this for up to 2 years. And I will tell you, despite having 2 years, it is incredible to me that these claims frequently are filed the night before the two-year mark. So it's likely you won't see this for a while.
So you're saying that we may not have to deal with this for two years?
To some extent, yes. We want to preserve those records. The only other thing that you have to consider in consultation with us and the company's accountants is whether you need to reserve for any potential preference exposure. So if you receive, do you know the approximate amount of payments that you may have received in the 90 days before the bankruptcy?
I think it was about $1.5
million. So if you receive $1.5 million, which is a significant amount, I'd be surprised if you don't get some type of demand from the debtor and then later a lawsuit if you aren't able to resolve it. But if you receive $1.5 million, we can try to evaluate these defenses for you and discuss them with you so that you don't have to necessarily reserve a full $1.5 million as an obligation. So we can give you information how we evaluate the claim. That doesn't mean that'll be the outcome, but it's our evaluation of some of the defenses, so you can talk to your accountants and hopefully not have to reserve and take a hit now for the full $1.5 million. Could be zero. It could be anything between zero and $1.5 million. I obviously don't have enough information, but that's something that you want to talk to your accountants about, whether they believe you need to reserve and should reserve, and then how much based on our assistance in evaluating your defenses. So that's something we can do now. We don't have to, but it's important that you make sure you're meeting your obligations as a CFO if there's a claim that needs to be reserved for.
That's good to know.
And we can revisit preference later if a demand is made on you or a case is filed. So we've covered a lot, Kristen. Any questions either on what we've covered or what we haven't covered? If there's something else that you know, that you had in your mind that I didn't address, I'm happy to answer anything you have.
No, thank you, Andrew. I think I've learned a lot about Chapter 11 bankruptcies today. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kristen. Join us for our future podcasts, including our next topic, Selling Bankruptcy Claims, Cash Now, But at What Cost? For individual legal advice, please contact Andrew Flame, Corporate Restructuring Partner at Drinker, Biddle & Reef at 215-988-2630 or andrew.flame@dbr.com. This podcast and its content is copyright 2016 Drinker, Biddle & Reef LLP, all rights reserved. This podcast may not be copied, modified, or otherwise used in whole or in part without the prior written permission of Drinker, Biddle & Reef LLP.